If you have your scriptures with you this morning, please turn to the Gospel according to John. We're in chapter 11 this morning. If you want to use a pew Bible, I believe it's page 897. 2 weeks ago, we started this chapter. It's the beautiful, amazing account. A friend of Jesus, Lazarus, who fell ill. He eventually dies. 2 weeks ago, we started it. If you remember, the sisters, Martha and Mary, sent people to tell Jesus, the one whom you loved is ill, Jesus. We need you to come. And because he loved them, he stayed two more days. He didn't go. He's about 100 miles away. He actually says to the disciples around him, he says, this illness does not lead to death. It's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Well, as most of you know the story, Lazarus does die. He does die. But there's much more going on. He wanted to reveal to them, he wanted to reveal to you, to the disciples, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And he wants you to believe it. So it's been a couple days, and Jesus says, let's go. Let's go see Lazarus. He's fallen asleep, and the disciples were like, well, he'll be okay. He's just taking a nap. He's like, no, Lazarus has died. And I'm glad he did. He's like, I got something to show you. I got something to show you. So this is where we'll pick up this morning. We're in John 11. We're going to start at verse 17. We're going to pray before we start. I'll give a little bit of an intro to the message, and we'll walk through it. And let's ask God's blessing. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we pray that you would bless the preaching of your word. Lord, we need to hear from you. We need to be reminded of who you are, what you've accomplished, and what you are doing even today. So, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would teach, that he would illumine, that he would even regenerate those who do not even know you. They would be awakened to the glory that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that they would believe in him. They would trust in him. They would adore him. So feed your people this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I begin with a question this morning. What is the most amazing sight you have ever beheld? Other than your spouse, I know for Vanessa it's hard for you. What is the most amazing sight you've ever beheld? A sight so grand, a sight so magnificent that that feeling of awe that you got from it, you just wish would linger on from all eternity. Maybe it was the first time you saw your newborn child and you looked at that miracle and was like, wow. Just wow. Maybe it was when you were at the ocean and you saw the sunrise or sunset with all of its colors of orange, red, pink, and purple glimmering off the ocean glass, and you were just in awe. Maybe some of you have the privilege of going to California and you see these giant redwood trees that just tower and they're big enough to drive a car through. Maybe it's Niagara Falls, it's maybe the Grand Canyon, but what was the most amazing sight you've ever beheld? A sight you just beheld and you knew it pointed to something or someone more grand and more powerful than you could ever think of or imagine. The scriptures declare that when you look at the heavens, you see God's glory. The scriptures declare that when you look at the things that have been created, you see his power, you see his divine nature, and you see the glory of God all around you. You see the point of that newborn child, the point of the sunrises and the sunset, the point of Niagara Falls. It's not just those items that you see, but the point beyond them to the God who made them, and you just go, wow. You're just enthralled with this God who made it. You see his glory. What is the glory of God? John Piper, he explains it this way. The glory of God is God going public with his holiness. God puts his holiness on display for you to observe and to apprehend. He says the glory of God is seeing God in his perfection, in his greatness, and his worth. The passage we will go through this morning gives you, his people, a sign. It's the seventh sign in John, a sign that will reveal Jesus' glory, a sign that points beyond the event itself. As great as it's going to be to see Lazarus raised from the dead, you will see Jesus in his power, his holiness, his greatness, and his worth, and something to dwell on for all eternity. As you grow in your faith, as you grow in Christ and consider his power and majesty more and more, I want you to grow in your awe and your adoration of who Jesus is in all his glory. Jesus reveals to us this morning that he is the resurrection and the life. He wants you to believe it. He wants you to receive it. And more importantly, he wants you to be enthralled with his glory, that his holiness is on display. What Mary, Martha, and Lazarus experienced some 2,000 years ago will be experienced by all of his people as he returns in resurrection victory. It's going to be a sight to behold for all eternity with praise, majesty, and glory to Christ. So as we walk through this morning, I want you to know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. You need to believe it, you need to receive it, and more importantly, be enthralled with all of his glory for all eternity. We'll look at 3 points as we walk through this text this morning. And the first point I want us to consider is that while Jesus reveals his glory, while he's doing this in our everyday lives, he gives us foundational truths to anchor into, to secure us in those times where our faith is struggling. Picture yourself maybe on a boat and on a river, and you have that current of doubt, that current of questions, and if you just continue down that current, you could just crash into the rocks. You just need to throw your anchor out in God's promises and his truths to secure you in those times of struggle. Let's walk through some of this morning. Let's start at verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." We'll pause there. Jesus had traveled about 100 miles away to get to Bethany. Bethany is about 2 miles away from Jerusalem, and Lazarus at this point has been dead for 4 days. In the Jewish culture, when someone dies in their family, they would bury them right away, and then family members would come. Friends and family would come to console them for those days and weeks afterwards. 4 days doesn't seem like a long time, but it's an eternity to a family who loses a loved one. For Mary and Martha, it's 4 days of just not seeing their brother Lazarus. It's 4 days of perhaps not hearing them say hello or good morning like they're used to. If Lazarus was a jokester, maybe it's 4 days of just not hearing his funny stories. It's definitely 4 days of seeing his items and his things laying around and Lazarus is not there. They feel the pain, they feel the grief, and many of you know this. This is what these ladies are feeling as Jesus arrives. In the midst of this grief, in the midst of the sorrow, Martha heard that Jesus was drawing near, so she ran out to meet him with an honest expression of her heart. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask from God, God will give you." For Martha, it's an acknowledgement of Jesus' power. "Jesus, we know if you would have been here, We know you could have made him well. We've seen you heal the blind man. We've seen you heal the invalid. Jesus, if you would have been here. And we ask this at times, right? When we lose our loved ones, Jesus, where were you? And we learn from this story that even though you don't see Jesus, Jesus knew all along what was going on with Lazarus. And you must know Jesus knows what's going on in your heart and in your lives, and that he is working a plan to reveal glory. It can seem like an eternity of waiting, but you can know this. He's working a plan to reveal his glory. Martha, she's just honest. If you were just here. And you just be honest with God in the midst of your struggles. But yet she's tied to truth. She says, but even now, Jesus, I know that whatever you ask, God will give you. Basically what she's saying is, Jesus, whatever you think is best, do it, Jesus. It's a heart of faith. It's a truth and reality that can give you peace to your soul. Trust in Jesus, who is the great I am, the eternal God, to do whatever he thinks is best. And Jesus responds. He gives her something to anchor into during her struggle. In verse 23, if you have your text, listen to what Jesus says to her. He says, your brother will rise again. And your loved ones who have died in Christ, they will rise again. In verse 24, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Martha, do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. He gives her truths to anchor into, to secure her during this time of struggle. Most Jewish people at this time believed in the resurrection of the dead in the last day. There is a last day. There's a day where judgment will come at the end of time. There's thoughts out there amongst other religions and thoughts that when you die, you'll just dissolve back into the universe like a raindrop that goes into the ocean. That's not the case. Some people think that when you die, you'll just be reincarnated and come back as a bug or a rich man or a cow, whatever. That is not the case. Jesus makes it clear. You will live, you will die, and one day there will be this great resurrection. Martha believed this truth. It's a truth taught out throughout the Old Testament even. Our call to worship was from Job. It's the oldest book of the Bible. And he said, my Redeemer lives. And even though my flesh is destroyed, I will see God in my flesh. There's a resurrection coming. Isaiah 26, your dead shall live, the body shall rise. You who dwell in dust, awake and sing for joy, for your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. There is a resurrection coming. And in John 5, Jesus said earlier, do not marvel at this. There's an hour coming that when all who are in the tombs will hear my voice, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Jesus responds to Martha in her hard expression. He says, look, anchor into this. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he will live. And everyone who believes in me, though he will die, he will live. And everyone who believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? What Jesus is saying, there is a future eschatological hope. Yes, there is a day when there will be this final resurrection. But he's saying to Martha, I'm standing right in front of you. I am the resurrection. I am the power. I am the one that resonates life through me. And I'm right here before you. And he says that even though you die, it's like you never die. Those who believe in Christ, when you put your faith and trust in Christ, you're already experiencing resurrection power. Your soul has been regenerated. You are awakened to the things of God. He's transforming you into the image of Christ. And though this outer shell is wasting away, your soul will be glorified. And one day this body will turn to dust, but it will be resurrected and united forever. So when we die as believers, it's like we never die. It's like we never die because you're already alive. And when you pass into glory and you are with God, and one day that body will rise. And Jesus says these things to Martha, and she asks her, "Do you believe this?" And she says, "Yes, I believe. You are the Christ, the Son of God." So Jesus, while revealing his glory and through hard situations, things that will make our faith struggle, he gives us foundational truths to anchor into. Remember, he is the resurrection and the life. Anchor into that, and you won't drift away and crash into rocks. Martha says she believes, but little does she know what she's about to experience. Leads us to our second point. While Jesus reveals his glory, know this, Jesus knows the weight of anger and grief in the moments of loss. In the midst of Jesus showing his glory, he knows the weight of anger and grief in moments of great loss. You have a God who can sympathize with you. Let's continue on in verse 28. When she said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here. He's calling for you." When she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in that place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Some of them said, "Could he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" We'll pause there. Martha goes and tells Mary, "Jesus is on the way. He's just right outside." Mary runs to Jesus and expresses again her emotions, her heartfelt emotions. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus sees her weeping, when he sees the crowd around her weeping, the text says he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. Our English translation misses this a little bit. It's a stronger feeling than just being sad. Jesus is angry. It's a word, I'll try to pronounce it, and bring me, oh my. It's the Greek word. It's this idea of horses snorting. It's this idea of anger, outrage, emotional indignation. D.A. Carson, he writes, a better translation of this about Jesus would be that Jesus was outraged in spirit and troubled. What's he outraged about? Some think that Jesus is moved by their grief, Mary and Martha's grief, and those around him. And consequently, then, he's angry with just sin. He's angry with sickness. He's angry at death in this fallen world that wreaks so much havoc and sorrow. I think you felt that. Cancer is awful. Disease is awful. This fallenness is awful. That might be part of it. Maybe he's angry at the men and women around him who seem to be grieving like pagans, like those who don't have any hope in any resurrection. We're not sure, we're not told, but it's an intensity. He feels the weight of the anger in the situation, and he is moved. Jesus is moved in his gut and his emotions, and he says to them, "Where have you laid him?" They say, "Lord, come and see." In the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus, the great I Am, the eternal God who created all things, is fully human. He's expressing grief. He's expressing anger. He's expressing sorrow, and he's shedding tears. He knows what he's about to do. He knows he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but he knows the weight and sorrow of the struggle. As Osmond Fantastica of what's going to happen in the revealing of his glory, it doesn't make it easy. This fallen world of death and disease and sin moves him. This is why Jesus came. He wanted to make things new. He wanted to redeem. He wanted to restore. He wanted to resurrect. Your God knows your pain, and this is why he sent Jesus. That you would have life in his name. The people around him look at him and say, look at him. Look how he responds. Look how he loved Lazarus. This Jesus who healed the blind man, couldn't he have saved his friend? And they're about to see. They're about to see what he's up to, which leads us to our third and final point, that Jesus, with this seventh sign, reveals his matchless glory, leaving no doubt that he is the resurrection and the life. That you can know that he is the Christ, and by believing in him, you can have life in his name. Let's finish this text, verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe you sent me." And he said these things, and he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the man who had been dead came out. His hands and feet bound with linen strips and face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." For those of you who like to work on houses, which is easier, demolition or restoration? It's easy to destroy and take down. Hard to restore and make it new again. Lazarus been dead 4 days. His body is being demolished. It's decomposing. Jesus walks to that tomb. Just with the command of his voice, "Lazarus, come out." And like God breathing into Adam that's just dust, there's life. He is restored. Lazarus' brain function kicks in, and the 100 billion nerve cells in his brains are all pulsating. The 100 trillion cells in Lazarus' body start running. Lungs are breathing. Kidneys and liver are functioning. Heart is beating. Blood is flowing. All the systems kick on. The digestive system, endocrine, the immune, lymphatic, nervous, muscular, everything is kicking on, and he walks out of there alive. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Though it's not John's point, and commentators like to speculate, and it's all speculation, Jesus' command is so powerful, they say, but it is. But the commentators like to think that if Jesus wouldn't have said Lazarus' name, that all the bodies in the graves would have came out. That's how powerful Jesus is. Speculation, but it's interesting. "Lazarus, come out." The man who was dead 4 days came out. Jesus says, "Unbind him and let him go." And what happened to Lazarus is promised to all mankind. There will be a day when everyone will be raised. The question is, where is your heart and allegiance before you die? Do you see Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior, the one who's come to take away your sins, to offer you eternal life? Do you see that? Do you trust it? Do you see him in all his glory to where you want to follow him Or do you see Jesus just as this strange guy that people talk about and you think you're okay? There's a resurrection coming. One that's to eternal life, and there's another one to eternal death. And it's where you've placed your trust and faith in now that counts. He wants you to know He is the resurrection and the life. He's come to make things new. He's not playing games. He can heal a blind man. He can cause a man who was dead for 4 days to walk out of a tomb. It won't be long till He raises Himself after He's been crucified for our sins. Do you know Him? Do you trust Him? For Mary and Martha, this was the greatest sight they had seen up to this point. That they had to be enthralled. That they would have this lingering feeling of how magnificent Jesus was. That there would be an even greater sight when they see Jesus Himself raised from the dead after He is crucified, died, and was buried. Do you know Him? Do you believe Him? As you grow in your faith, as you consider Christ and His power and majesty, I pray that you grow ever more and more in your awe and adoration of Jesus. What Mary and Martha experienced some 2,000 years ago, we will all experience in resurrection victory. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Believe it. Receive it, but even more importantly, be enthralled with His glory for all eternity. Praise Him. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank You for Christ. Lord, give us eyes of faith to believe, faith to follow. Lord, I know it's hot. Lord, I pray people would consider their eternal destiny. He is the resurrection and the life. In You there's peace, in You there's life, in You there's health forever. Without You are lost. And the uncomfort of the heat is nothing compared to those who are lost, who do not know Christ as Savior and Lord, to experience the just penalty of their sin for all eternity. Lord, I pray that You would awaken us all to Your majesty, to Your grace, to Your perfection, to Your glory. In Your praise and in Your name we ask. Amen.